From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A new documentary by filmmaker Nick Sweeney is causing a massive ruckus in the debate around abortion. The film profiles Norma McCorvey, the woman known as Jane Roe, in the seminal Supreme Court case Roe v. Wade that legalized abortion in the United States. Years after the court decision, McCorvey had a very public conversion as a born-again Christian and became an icon of the religious right and anti-abortion movements. But in the documentary, titled AKA Jane Roe, McCorvey says on camera, in the last years of her life, that it was all a lie. She had been financially compensated for switching sides to the anti-abortion side of the debate, and then was making what she called her deathbed confession. We turn now to Imani Gandhi, senior legal analyst for Rewire.News, where she covers law and the courts and co-hosts Rewire.News' podcast, Boom Lawyered. Welcome to the program, Imani.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So this documentary that came out Friday is really shocking for anybody who has been following the story of abortion, I think whether you are pro or anti-abortion, because it centers around the woman whose pseudonym was Jane Roe of Roe versus Wade, and whose real name was Norma McCorvey. Before we get to specifically the details of what she says in this documentary, what she said, I should say, she's passed away now, how significant was she a figure in the original battle around the Supreme Court case Roe v. Wade? How significant was she culturally speaking? Obviously, where the case was concerned, she was it.
I mean, she's a huge figure, right? I mean, she's a huge figure on both sides. Before she had this conversion, which has now been revealed to have been paid for by the Christian right and by Operation Rescue, she was a rather large figure in the pro-choice movement. She worked at a clinic in Dallas, I believe, called A Woman's Choice, I think is what it was called. And she worked with Charlotte Taft, who is an abortion provider who I've met. She's a lovely person. And she was the huge figure. I mean, she'd found sort of a community that was willing to laud her and to celebrate her. And I think given what we know now about her background and the way that she grew up, I think she was looking for that. She was looking for sort of a family. And then by the time she met Flip Benham, who's the founder of Operation Rescue, you know, they had moved into a clinic next door to hers. So they were having battles back and forth about abortion and what have you. So by the time they met, they were also very, cantankerous with each other. They didn't get along. He would call her baby killer. She would, you know, call him names. And then as time moved on, they became closer. She sort of confessed that she maybe had been pro-life the whole time. He confessed to her that he used to be pro-choice. So they built this friendship, or the story goes that they built this friendship. So not only was she a huge pivotal figure in the pro-choice movement, she became a huge pivotal figure in the anti-choice movement. And so that's why this documentary, that Friday's documentary, is so not alarming for people who have been steeped in this work for a long time, but kind of, it's still a little bit surprising, right? It's still a bit of a bombshell. I think you could probably say that a lot of people who work in the movement aren't shocked about this revelation, but are surprised about it, and are surprised especially that it's coming out now in this way.
So Jane Roe, or Norma McCorvey, essentially became this cultural icon for the anti-choice movement, right? For the anti-abortion movement. She became this poster child for women who were eschewing abortion, because she talked about how she regretted her abortion. She just became this figure that was being held up. But we, you know, from what the documentary tells, as far as you can tell, was she paid to lie, or was it some sense of being in the spotlight that convinced her to lie about her true feelings?
I think that she had a hard life. I've learned a lot about her just in the past couple of days that I didn't know about her before. She was queer. She grew up poor. She was an abuse survivor. She was married to a man who was abusive. So all of these characteristics can combine to create a person who is not only looking for sort of family validation and to be lauded somewhere by someone, but also looking to survive. And it seems to me that, you know, that impulse to survive when someone is dangling money in front of you, I think a lot of us would have a hard time saying no to that if we were in the circumstances that she was in. So yeah, I mean, it turns out that she was paid about $500,000 by Operation Rescue. And I believe the reporter, I can't recall her name right now, but the Daily Beast reporter, fact checked that and found it to be true. So despite the fact that Flip Benham and people like Alveda King and Lila Rose and Frank Pavotti, all of these huge giants in the anti-choice movement are sort of saying, oh, well, we don't believe that she ever said this, or we don't believe that her conversion was fake or a lie. You know, it's possible that she had some sort of conversion and that she did become more religious as her life went on. But it's also true that she accepted money from Operation Rescue and from anti-abortion activists and was told what to say and thrust in front of cameras and recited lines that she was given by these people. So I think that, you know, the first impulse is to be very angry with her, right? You know, oh, she's a money-grubbing person. She's a liar. She did so much damage to the movement. And now on her deathbed, she decides that she's going to actually tell the truth, that she was paid and, you know, to say these things. And she was paid by one of the most virulently anti-choice organizations that's ever been founded, right? Operation Rescue. They are known for clinic protests, clinic violence. They're not a friendly organization, let's say. So for her to go from working with people like Charlotte Taft to working with people like Flip Benham, there's a real sense of betrayal there, I think. Mm-hmm. But one, I think, has to realize that this is a person who was in a very vulnerable position, who was working, you know, in the pro-choice movement. And we know now that there's not a lot of money or glory in working in the pro-choice movement. So if you are starting to have some sort of religious transition, religious conversion, and you feel like you need money to survive, it might be tempting to go over to the quote unquote dark side and say, hey, I'm here. You know, I've been their poster child for a while. What do you got for me? Right. And it turned out they had $500,000. And what's interesting, I find, is that she, I think, maintained, even while she was sort of on the quote unquote dark side, that she believed that it was a pregnant person's choice to have an abortion in the first trimester.
Right, and because apparently by 2016, she had come round to supporting the right to an abortion again.
I'm not even sure if it was a matter of supporting it again. Hmm. If you talk to, I haven't talked to these people, obviously, but I've read some articles about the documentary filmmaker and about some of these people who are featured in the film. And, you know, there seems to be a sense that she may never have been fully anti-choice, that she continuously believed that it was a woman's right to choose to have an abortion in the first trimester. And we know that's when the large majority of abortions occur. And from what I've read about this situation, Flip Benham, who is this founder of Operation Rescue, who she was in battle with until they became friends, said that, well, she still has some saving to do, right? So they sort of, I think they were able to encourage her to no longer say in public that she believed that women had a right to choose abortion in the first trimester, but I'm not sure she ever stopped believing it. And I think with this sort of dying declaration situation that we have here, I think from what I understand, it seems like she actually did become more religious. And I believe the documentary filmmaker says that he also believes that she had a religious conversion, but did she have this sort of moral conversion that made her go from, I am, you know, extremely pro-choice working at a clinic to now I think people who get abortions are baby killers? I don't think she ever got to that abortion is baby killing standpoint, but I do think because she was such a giant and because she was the named plaintiff in one of the big, you know, the biggest abortion rights case there is, I think there was a desire for the anti-choicers to take what they could get when it came to Norma McCorvey. So if that meant bringing her over, you know, encouraging her to stop saying that she still supported abortion in any circumstance and then pay her to say what they wanted her to say, I think that was a victory for them.
Well, let's actually watch the trailer of the documentary in question. The film is called AKA Jane Roe. And here's a snippet of the film.
My fleas are waking up. This is my deathbed confession. It was 1969. I was pregnant and I was scared. These two attorneys were looking for a plaintiff to help overturn the Texas abortion laws. That was Roe versus Wade. Norma McCorvey, AKA Jane Roe. I came from a rough childhood. We were poor. I liked girls, but my mom told me queers are dirty.
She was exploited and abused.
When I was 16, I got married. I said, I'm pregnant, and he hit me. A lot of people are shocked that I've never had an abortion.
Norma McCorvey became the embodiment of the pro-choice cause.
I'm not a demure, picture-perfect, white-gloved lady.
She wanted to be an activist.
She was not the poster girl that would have been helpful.
What? The pro-lifers would holler, don't go in there and kill your baby, and I'd say, oh, shut up.
That had to be dealt with.
It has cost her physically, emotionally, financially.
She was totally lost in her own mess. I knew what she needed.
He said, do you like what you're doing?
Norma McCorvey has joined a leading anti-abortion group and found religion.
Norma McCorvey, born again Christian.
Hallelujah! It's a betrayal.
All I'm doing is watching out for Norma's ass.
Is she playing us?
If you're nice and quiet and polite, nobody pays any attention to you.
God just worked a miracle. She jumped from spawn of Satan to a child of Christ.
If it were known she was a lesbian, she would be kicked out.
I loved her with all my heart.
When you do what we did to Norma, you lose your soul.
This is for all the women to come after me.
Her whole life was an attempt to tell her real story.
And that's the trailer for AKA Jane Roe, an FX documentary that has been released Friday and that has been a bit of a bombshell moment for the debate around abortion. The woman known as Jane Roe, real name Norma McCorvey, who started out as the pro-abortion icon, had the anti-abortion conversion, and then had her deathbed confession, as she called it, saying that a big part of it was all an act. And she never really had an abortion, which was also such a strange thing to learn about in this documentary. I think I and maybe many other people who had thought about Roe versus Wade assumed that the Roe and Roe versus Wade either had had an abortion or wanted to have an abortion or, you know, had something to do with being denied an abortion. So this was pretty amazing. Imani Gandhi, what is your most shocking thing that you learned from watching this film? Has this, as somebody in your line of work, has this kind of made you angry or maybe just sad?
It's made me empathetic. You know, like I said earlier, I believe the impulse is to be angry with her because of the damage that she's caused. But at the same time, you know, the anti-choice movement was gonna go full steam ahead with or without Norma McCorvey. So it was certainly a great get for them in terms of having what they would even call her a trophy, which is kind of dehumanizing. But, you know, Rob Schenck actually says that's what they saw her as a trophy, as he was admitting that, you know, they were using her even as she may have been using them for money. But, you know, learning what I did about her background, that she had been arrested as a child for sodomy because she was found with a woman in a hotel room, that she ended up renouncing her relationship with her longtime partner, I believe her name was Carla or Carrie Gonzalez, because she couldn't be seen as in a gay relationship while she was the figurehead of this ultra-religious anti-abortion movement. So I think living an entire life looking for acceptance, trying to figure out who you are, you know, all of the abuse that she suffered, and then, you know, being manipulated as she was, I believe, by the anti-choice movement, it strikes me as sad. Now, I haven't actually watched the film yet. That's something I plan to do when it comes out on Friday. I've only read coverage of it, and I've read interviews with the filmmaker. Based on some of the interviews that I've read with the documentary filmmaker and what it was like filming it with her, it seems like she was kind of a firecracker. She was an independent and outspoken person. She gave as good as she got in terms of, you know, fighting with Flip Benham when they were on opposite sides of the issue. So I'm going to be interested to see what sort of personality shines through in this documentary. I haven't seen it yet. I'm looking forward to watching it. And I plan to do so as soon as it comes out on Friday. But I'd be interested to see just what this person is like, because I think people have ideas about who she was and who she must have been. And I get the sense that those ideas aren't entirely accurate. And even as I feel for this person, I feel empathy for someone who was unable to, you know, live the gay lifestyle she wanted to live with the partner that she wanted to live it with, who was abused by her husband, who was, you know, arrested for on sodomy charges when she was a child because she was found in a hotel room with a woman. This seems like someone who's had an interesting and hard life. And I am looking forward to sort of, in her own words, what her experiences were like, both with the anti-choice side and with the pro-choice side. And I would hope that people who are in the movement would extend her a little bit of understanding, because, you know, if you're a queer abuse survivor looking to survive, and there are people who want you to be part of their movement, who are telling you all of these things that maybe you wanted to hear your entire life. I mean, I think we all need to look inward and say, who among us would not be tempted? Mm-hmm. This country wasn't exactly fun for women in the 70s. I think what a lot of people may not know is that she was unable to get the abortion that she sought in Roe versus Wade. So that case didn't actually help her. She ended up giving up 2 children for adoption. And so I think really the lesson in all of this, or at least the lesson that I'm trying to take from this, is that, you know, whatever damage she did or may have done, and whatever the reasons that she did it, I feel as if she's more of a tragic figure than a figure that inspires ire in me. Right. I think that she had a difficult life. I think that she, you know, became the center focus of an issue that is still like one of the biggest culture war issues that we have 45 years later. Right. And so I can't find it in myself to be mad at her, because I think that the anti-choice movement would have exploded no matter what. And I think what's more interesting is the way in which the anti-choice movement's treatment of Norma McCorvey very much mirrors the way that they view all pregnant people seeking an abortion.
Right. I did want to ask about about that aspect of it how it reflects on the anti-abortion movement. But just to give you, just to give our audience a sense of the documentary itself, the Guardian newspaper quoted from it, and McCorvey was asked by the filmmaker Nick Sweeney, did the evangelicals use you as a trophy? She said, of course, I was a big fish. And she says, do you think they would say that you used them? Asked the filmmaker. And she said, well, I think it was a mutual thing. I took their money and they took me out in front of the cameras and told me what to say. And that's what I'd say. So she makes it really clear that she essentially became a mouthpiece. And she was paid, as we found out, this huge amount of money that worked out to about $500,000. The timing of this documentary is really critical, because if it comes at a time when the Supreme Court is considering a very big case around abortion in Louisiana, and we have potentially 5 anti-abortion votes to 4 on the Supreme Court. So what does this film to you say about the anti-abortion movement more than what it says about the individual woman, Jane Roe, aka Norma McCorvey, aka Jane Roe?
I think it speaks to how willing they are to use women as they see fit. It's about control. It's about manipulation. They did the same thing when they develop this anti-abortion trauma syndrome, right? This fake syndrome that people who get abortion suddenly have suicide ideation, and they cringe at the sound of vacuum cleaners. They actually collected people and bussed them into South Dakota to defend an anti-choice bill there, I think about 2005. So, you know, I don't get the sense that they really care about women. They care about control. They used to call women baby killers, and then they decided we should probably stop calling women baby killers. And now that since that hasn't worked, they're back to calling women baby killers, right? And so they're back to this sort of carceral solution for people who get abortion. So how can you claim to champion women and pregnant people if your solution to abortion is to either make it a death penalty offense, which some states have tried to do, or to make it something, make it a felony, throw pregnant women, pregnant people in jail, chain them while they're pregnant, incarcerated. It's just, I don't believe that these people care about women. They care about control. I don't even think they care about babies that much. I honestly think it is a means to an end, and that end is religious control.
And it's amazing because this is supposed to be a movement that is led by morality, right? It is supposed to be a movement that has as its central core issue one of supposedly good versus evil, being moral, choosing life, etc., quote unquote, all of that in quotes. And yet, over and over, including in this case of Norma McCorvey, we see morals thrown under the rug, thrown aside, and the sense of the ends justify the means. Let's violate our code of morality as long as we can win, you know, the control over women's bodies. I mean, I'm thinking of the undercover videos by the anti-abortion activists of the Planned Parenthood staffers, and you know, the very underhanded and deceptive ways in which they engage to try to cut funding for Planned Parenthood. So there is just this pattern of lying, dishonesty, abuse. And of course, now their champion, the biggest liar in the history of America, Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a movement that is actually based on morals and values, I don't think. I think they are cosplaying at morality. I think that as long as they have someone in the White House who's willing to put forth their agenda, they don't really care if he's a true Christian or an evangelical. I mean, I don't believe that these people care about anything except ushering in a world where they can wield their religious freedom, their religious liberties against anyone that they don't like, whether it's people seeking abortion, whether it's LGBTQ people, whether it's immigrants. You know, I mean, they're going to find a religious justification for everything. And I think that's really what the main issue is here.
So in this documentary, do you hope, Imani, that that it's really the anti-abortion movement's failings and deception that comes across as the underlying story, rather than a single woman, a single character, and her frailty?
Absolutely. I mean, and from what I understand of the film, that's what it is. It tells a very nuanced story about a very complex person. And what I do find interesting is that one of the people who was instrumental in bringing her over to the anti-choice side, this guy Rob Schenck, actually admits that, you know, yeah, we did use her. And he sort of, from what I understand, that was kind of a confessional for him to realize that what he had done or participated in when it came to Norma McCorvey wasn't right. It wasn't moral. It wasn't good. So I really hope that that's the takeaway. The takeaway is that the anti-choice movement, for all of their bluster about being, you know, infused with the values of Christianity, is they're really anything but. These are people who are willing to blow up clinics, who are willing to kill abortion doctors, who are willing to throw pregnant people in jail who get abortions, who support the death penalty for people who get abortion. So I don't see how anyone can look at that set of facts and come away thinking that this is a movement that's really based on solid values.
Well, Imani, give out the website for rewire.news, just rewire.news, I'm guessing.
Yeah, rewire.news. You can follow me on Twitter at Angry Black Lady. You should listen to my podcast, Boom Lawyered. We did a reaction podcast last on the couple of days before the documentary aired that I thought was pretty great. So I want to plug that. But yeah, I just want to urge empathy. You know, that's just really kind of my final word, is I want to make a plea for empathy.
Right. A plea for empathy for a real human being, but also a critical eye for a movement whose leaders are, you know, not really generating much empathy these days, at least from the rest of the country.
No.
Well, Imani, thank you as always so much for joining us today. Really appreciate all your work.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
My guest has been Imani Gandhi, Senior Legal Analyst for Rewire.news and co-host of their podcast, Boom Lawyered. We've been discussing the new documentary, aka Jane Roe. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.